Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geekeasy.
Hey guys, welcome to a special edition of the Geekeasy podcast. My name is Pixel Dan.
Jonathan Leonard.
And we are once again joined by our good friend, Jaren McCaffrey. What's up, Jaren?
What's up? I'm the pro wrestling analyst, right?
That's right, yes, pro wrestling analyst.
So,
John, are you all right?
I'm trying to figure out where to sit. This microphone's kind of right.
There's a microphone in
you
your
know,
face.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Nobody's right. Tuning in for my face.
Well, okay. That's the truth.
Hey. Yeah.
So, if you haven't figured it out already, the reason we have our pro wrestling analyst on the show is because we just got done watching the 2015 WWE Royal Rumble.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
We did, in fact.
We did, though, for real. For realsies.
Actually, it was the 2016.
2016! We didn't watch 2015. You're right. We did watch the 2002.
We did watch, we watched 92.
We did watch the 92. We watched a bunch of them, but 2015 was not one of them. 2016, however, just ended, and we are now going to record a podcast and talk about it, I think.
We were confused because of all the similarly underwhelming moments between the two rumbles.
Same thing. No
it was pretty much the same thing we watched last year.
No joke.
And the year before, kind of. It hasn't been a very good series of Royal Rumbles the past few years.
It's always going to be one of my favorite matches because I'm running out of reasons. But it's always an event. It's something to look forward to. We make a day out of it, and it's fun. But
yes.
I am beginning to ask more and more often: is the Rumble ever going to surprise me again?
It's still one of the big four,
right?
So
yeah, for sure. And it is fun, like you said, like we make an event out of it, at least. So that is a reason to get together. And, you know, if you guys have been listening to the show and heard our wrestling podcast before, you're familiar with this. But just like we do with WrestleMania, we get together every year and we spend all day, especially now that we have the network. It makes it very easy. We watch past Royal Rumbles. We laugh and talk and have a good time and reminisce about wrestling in preparation for the new event. So it's awesome because we get a chance to just get together and enjoy this sport. The sports entertainment that we like so much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. It's like, even going into this one, we were even having conversations building up to the pay-per-view, saying things like, I hope something happens tonight.
Yeah,
just I hope there's just a little bit of, you know, surprise or reason to care. Because
anything interesting.
Yeah, anything interesting happens because the build-up for this Rumble has got to be one of the worst I've seen in a very long time.
And I will say, like, at the very least, we were pretty sure who was going to win, and they didn't win, but as soon as it was, you know, when the conversation goes, well, I'm sure so-and-so is going to take it, and if they don't, it's going to be X or Y. It was X.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was pretty predictable.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying it's spoiler-free for some reason, because we're about to get into the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I guess.
Did you guys want to discuss the whole pay-per-view altogether, or do we just want to kind of focus on the match itself?
You know, I got an extra 5 minutes, sure.
An extra 5 minutes.
Yeah,
well, there wasn't a lot. Honestly, there wasn't a lot of super interesting stuff that happened on this show. Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens
fought some backyarder. Which is always awesome when you can say that about the guy in jeans and a wife beater. You know? Like, he's the pro.
Jaren's not the biggest Kevin Owens fan.
No.
Yeah.
I don't mind Kevin Owens, but I totally see your complaints with him too.
Yeah.
So it's like I can see both sides of that story.
I'm not a big Kevin Owens fan, but I haven't seen a lot of his work either because I'm so off the wrestling game, so I get most of my info from Jaren.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I've got a tainted view.
Which is a safe move.
Wrestling analyst after all.
Analyst.
Oh, professional.
That too. He's professional. Mm-hmm. So they had a last man standing match for the US title.
Yeah. Actually, I enjoyed the match.
It was a good match.
Yeah, yeah.
It was good.
It wasn't anything like mind blowing.
No.
You know?
It wasn't. I mean, they did take a lot of big bumps.
It was
the
PG hardcore crap. Like, that's,
you're right.
You know, like no headshots with chairs, no bleeding, no. You know, and I'm not saying wrestling has to have that stuff, but like, goodness gracious, you know, if you're gonna do a last man standing match and they can't even hit them each other in the head with a chair.
Yeah.
I always thought the most dangerous place for wrestling to be from a entertainment perspective is on either extreme of that.
Right.
Because I never liked like the super hardcore stuff when they were doing like half their matches were hardcore.
Barbed wire, flames, and they were hitting mankind
in the head with a chair 27 times in a match. And
I like that.
But when they were going way too far, then no, I didn't. I wasn't a fan of that style. I prefer the more, PG in general rated. But wrestling's always been that thing that had room for some extreme stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when you suck all of that out of it, then it's like you can't have the best of both worlds. You can't have a hardcore match where you're not allowed to do anything.
Right.
You know.
And I mean, you could do you could do like other stipulations, you know what I mean? No DQ, no holds barred. You could even go like as far as street fight and get away with the PG stuff like they do it. But I mean, if you're gonna do a last man standing match where you're trying to make me believe you're knocking a guy out for a 10 count, he needs to do something more than fall through some tables.
Yeah, exactly.
And get hit in the back with a chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you kept saying that, you brought it up just now, too, and you were saying it even during the match, and it's a very good point. Like, when you can't do headshots anymore, like, it almost is like, what is the point of a match where the objective is to knock the other guy out? Exactly. How are you supposed to knock the other guy out if you're never allowed to hit him in the head?
Yep.
You know, and they did a couple of cool teases. Like, Ambrose uses a double-arm DDT as his finisher, and he did hit that, like, on a chair one time, which is a good knockout move. And then the match ended with the big bump through the double-stacked tables, and that's fine, I guess, but it's a very valid point to bring up. You know, if you're going to have a last man standing match where the objective is to knock the other guy out, but don't ever hit that guy in the head, that does seem a little lackluster.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. And again, the answers there are like not necessarily like they should be out there trying to kill each other.
Yes.
One of two things, either A, do a different stipulation, exact same match with slightly different billing, and no harm, no foul there at all, or B, find an interesting way to navigate that problem.
Right.
Yep.
And they don't really do that. They just do the stuff they can do, and then you're just supposed to take it and be happy with it. Like, I'm sure, like you said, there's the bumps on the DDTs on the chairs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That they kind of, like flow in there. But even those, like, none of those look like the knockout blow. Like, find a way to give me something that's going to sell me, and I go, oh, I never thought of that ending, but that got me there. Right. Or do a different match.
If you tell me that's a last man's, or if you tell me that's a false count anywhere match, that's my favorite match of the card.
Yeah.
If you tell me it's a last man standing match, I'm gonna sit there and nitpick it because I don't believe any of that stuff has knocked Kevin Owens out for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
10 count.
10 seconds. Yeah. 10 count. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, they did do some cool stuff in the match. I always really like that superplex that Kevin Owens does. Where it's kind of like backwards,
like that cradle
one that he flips it around. And I just thought they pulled that one off really well tonight through that table. That was a really good spot. I think that was my favorite spot in the match. It was probably one of the better, I think it was the best standalone match that we saw on the card
tonight.
Yeah,
I'd say probably for sure.
And Dean Ambrose retained, so he still holds the U.S. title. Yep. So cool stuff there. Alberto Del Rio defended the U.S. title against Kalisto, and we didn't see any of that match. And the reason for that is we had a lot of issues with the WWE Network tonight, unfortunately, and that was the match that we had to try to fix it. So, like, the match kind of froze up, and we turned it off, like, right when they started, and when we came back, Kalisto was holding the title. So Kalisto is your new U.S. champion, and that's not something I saw coming. I didn't think that they would
do that. Haven't they done that match a bunch of times, though?
What do you mean?
I mean, I feel like I see that match every other Raw or SmackDown.
That's true. I mean, they've kind of been doing that lately.
Like Del Rio and Kalisto?
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't imagine. I didn't see it. Like Del Rio, don't like Kalisto. Can't imagine they didn't do anything that they haven't already done on television.
Oh, okay.
20 times.
Right.
And, or that he hasn't done because he wrestled Rey Mysterio a lot. He's wrestled Sin Cara a lot,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, anytime they get, like, some Latin Americans, they always just wrestle each other.
Yeah.
And it all looks the same to me.
Okay, yeah. And I know that they're trying to appeal to that demographic, too, which is part of the reason they do that so much, and they always bring those guys in, so
Well, they had a huge following at one time.
Yeah.
With Eddie Guerrero.
Right.
Like Eddie Guerrero brought in a huge Latin demographic.
Right.
To their television. Eddie Guerrero was phenomenal.
Yes.
And he wrestled other people.
Yeah.
Like, he wrestled all over their card. He was, like, the champ, you know? Like, they keep bringing in these guys, like, they want to continue to appeal to that market, but they do nothing with them.
Well,
yeah.
Just have them wrestle
each other. Like, oh, yeah, they'll tune in to see Sin Cara and Del Rio 100 times again.
Yeah.
No, they're not going to.
I feel like they always have, just from a marketing perspective, they always have to have the guy in the mask that they can sell those masks at the stand. Because I know those masks sell a ton.
Yeah, it's a merchandising thing, too, for sure.
But, you know, again, like, why do they always have to bring in the guy in the mask and have him fight the other, like, the Latin guy that's not in the mask? Why can't they expand out into the card and fight other people and do interesting things?
Yeah.
Because the point of a lot of those characters is, and I think probably the reason they don't do a lot with them is because no matter how much or little they do, they're still selling masks, you know? But at the same time, why not do something with them? Like, you're not going to sell less masks if you make them more interesting.
Well, look, if you want to create breakout stars, you have to make it so that those people appear on the same level as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rey Mysterio became huge because he was wrestling. You know, he didn't just wrestle Super Crazy and Super Kalo and Psychosis and all the other, you know, luchadors at WCW. He wrestled Chris Jericho and Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit and, you know what I mean? And then they started moving him up. He became the Giant Killer and he wrestled other people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's when he took off.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so you're just not going to, when you just show the same guy over and over again, he might sell a lot of masks.
And that's my point. Like, I don't think there's no chance he's going to sell less masks by making him more interesting.
Well, it really,
so why
it,
not
I mean,
give him some more
and,
stuff
and
to do?
And all of this is a direct relation to the problems that we've been discussing, you know, off podcast earlier, talking about just the way the WWE product is now and the booking and the way it's run. It all relates to that. It's the problem that they're having where they're not creating any big stars anymore.
Right.
There's no other stars. They've got like their one guy that they focus on and the rest of the card just doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah.
And that's what's dug the biggest rut that they're in now.
Because nothing organic happens
through the process. Yep,
and like, you know, they've got such a developmental strategy and such a developmental system now, a lot of that being good things. You know, they've got a place to go. They've got a place to showcase the talent. They've got a training system that goes through, so the guys all work fairly well together.
They instill a different culture, so these guys might not all be dead before they're 50.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some great things there, and those are the positives, but the negatives are, you don't have the guys who are scrapping and clawing and learning the trade by necessity.
Yes.
Yep.
And you don't have the guys who are, you know, who find the chances to do their own thing and really grow and own it, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. And I think that'll be a continual theme as we talk through the Royal Rumble when we get to that. We also saw the New Day defend their tag team titles against the Usos. Something else we've seen quite a bit, actually.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, so that...
Don't they wrestle every other Monday on Raw?
That match happened again. I find the New Day highly entertaining.
I'm not digging them.
I know that you don't think... They crack me up, dude. I don't even care.
Yeah.
And honestly,
I smiled the whole time they were out there.
I kind of feel like they're one of those bright spots in a system where these guys aren't really allowed to do their own thing. Because I feel like the New Day were three guys that were randomly stuck together...
Mm-hmm.
With no real purpose.
Yep.
And they turned that into something on their own.
Yep.
Like, those guys started goofing and having fun and saying crazy things. And it worked, so they were allowed to run with
it.
And now they're running with it. So they've totally got something that we just don't really see a whole lot of anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I like them so much.
Probably...
I'm watching these dudes come out there and have all this fun, and I'm watching the crowd have fun with them, and that's cool to see.
Yeah.
You
you're also way more into comedy than I am.
I know.
In the wrestling realm.
Yep.
You know. You loved Christian when he was getting goofy.
Uh-huh.
You know, the goofier Christian got, the more you loved him.
Heck yeah.
The goofier he got, the more I liked Edge.
Yeah.
Now, back to the topic at hand. I try not to badmouth the New Day.
Yeah.
Because I respect, like you said, that they are like a bright spot. You know what I mean? I respect what they're doing. I respect that they're pushing it and being allowed to do more of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's totally something that probably was like on the cusp of getting SmackDown.
Oh, you know for
what
I sure.
Mean? Like they're doing well, what?
Do you remember?
You want to do what?
Yeah.
No.
You remember when that whole thing started and we were just like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Like Vince just took the three black guys and stuck them together and totally, gave them this church choir gimmick.
You
got
to go out there and shuck and jive and
that's what it felt like. Yeah. And it was just like, this is going to be terrible.
Right. Well, you can sense that those three guys got together and went, well, we got about 6 months of usefulness in us before we get Future Endeavor.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's try to make something out of it.
Did you watch the...
working. So.
You've seen some of the Table for Threes on the WWE Network. Did you watch the one with them where they kind of talk about that sort of stuff?
Yet.
Yeah, it's pretty good because they do kind of talk about that. And it is one of those things where they kind of all... Like, they weren't really friends before that, but they got along instantly. And it was kind of one of those things where they started having all this fun backstage and on their own, and they kind of were just like, we got to just start doing this. We got to start. And, like, they had to rally a lot. Like, they had to go talk to Vince and tell him, like, no, you have to let us do this. You have to trust us. It's going to work. Because remember, they were running his face at first, and it was not working. The crowd did not want to cheer for that. And they had to, like, rally themselves to be heels. They were like, you have to make us heels. You have to let us do heels. And then he finally agreed to do it, and that's when they turned this whole thing around.
Yeah.
And now it's just, you know, it took off, and it's become what it is. Yeah. So you really got to respect that. I think that's awesome that they've done that.
Yeah. And as far as the match itself goes tonight, I mean, again, I was entertained by the New Day being out there. I like the Usos fine. I don't have a lot bad to say about the match. There was just nothing particularly remarkable about it.
I thought it was super sloppy.
Yeah, it was.
Everything was...
The end of the match, they totally lost their groove. Something weird happened, and they were just slipping on everything.
At the very end, there was a couple of spots
I didn't
feel
like they were ever able to get in their groove. I felt like that train started off the track and just derailed.
I didn't catch anything spectacularly out of sync until the very end there, which I had even forgotten about that by now.
Well,
but
that's why you're not the analyst.
Yeah. That's right. That's why we bring Jaren on this show. Come on, John.
This is my show, kind of.
This is
mostly his.
You're right.
Wow. It's on your own show.
On your own show. New Day retained, so they are still the tag team champions, and I'm fine with that.
And they got a new trumpet.
And
trombone, or what is that?
They did get a new trumpet.
I think it's a trombone.
Trombone, yes, trombone. What's the trombone's name? I can't even remember.
What was the old one's name? Francine?
Something like that, and this one's just two.
Yeah,
they just
Francine
added a two at the end of it. Yeah, I was funny. the other singles match we saw was the women's match, the Divas title, which was Charlotte versus Becky Lynch, which had, you know, this is... This kind of goes back to the stuff we were talking about with NXT and their system and everything, too. And this is part of the big problem with all of that stuff. One of the downsides of the NXT process. NXT has done a really good job of creating some pretty awesome stars. And it's very entertaining and exciting. And one of the things they've done very well is have a meaningful women's division. Mm-hmm. Like, it matters over there. The girls work really hard. They have very good wrestling matches that you actually want to watch, which is, you know, WWE's just been so boring with the women's stuff for a long time.
Yeah.
They don't treat it seriously.
They don't treat it seriously.
Yeah, it's like
they don't. Show. Right. They've never really treated it seriously. Well, I mean, we've had some serious stuff, you know.
There's been some bright spots.
Trish
and
Lita
is overall, like the
one bright spot that everybody can pinpoint because it's like the only real one that happened and mattered.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, there was around that time, you know, like Trish had some good stuff with Mickie James and
there was
some really good stuff around there, but like that was like a high point of
But
the
if you want to talk
division.
About like, yeah, like the last, gosh, I would say like almost 10 years
probably,
worth
yeah.
of Divas has yeah. not been anything exciting or entertaining.
Yeah, yeah.
So it
they
was
get
pretty...
A, they get more time to enter than they do to wrestle.
Well,
exactly.
Basically,
because they just want to trot the cute girls out there in their skimpy outfits.
Yes.
And the Divas division in and of itself is mostly just an advertisement for that reality show.
Oh, yeah.
Playing to the reality culture.
Yeah.
And it just sort of pops in. And it's like, oh, also we do this.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden this movement started happening in NXT where you got these girls just totally kicking ass, and it was really exciting to see, you know. And you've got girls over there like Charlotte was over there and Becky Lynch was over there, but then you had like Sasha Banks, who's just fantastic to watch, super entertaining, you know. And you've got Bayley running over there right now.
Yep.
She's super entertaining. So you got a little excited when they started bringing these girls over to the main roster until you realized that they were bringing them over to the main roster to just turn them into WWE divas and water them down. And just they lost everything that was exciting about them in NXT. Yeah. And that's totally what it feels like is happening right now, especially with Charlotte, because they're doing that weird Divas thing where they're like, she's face this week, she's heel this week, she's face, she's back and forth. We don't know what to do with her.
She's with Ric Flair, you know?
Yeah.
She's like window dressing for Ric Flair because he can't wrestle anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, it's really kind of sad to see, because you're at this point now where you almost don't want to see these girls get called up to the main roster because they're doing such awesome stuff at NXT. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Charlotte's the heel now. She's full on Ric Flair's daughter. That's just like the gimmick now. Yeah. She's just like him. She turned on her friend Becky Lynch. That was the feud that they built up, you know, which kind of just fell right out of the whole Paige thing, because I think Paige got hurt. So it just turned into this. And yeah, I mean, it's sad because you can see it translating to the audience. I mean, the audience was not into this match. It was slow moving, I felt like.
You know, it hurts with... It's got to be acknowledged to... And I don't want to say put the blame on the audience, but context is a factor. Okay, NXT is... what we say. I don't even know what the full sale holds, but, you know.
A few hundred, probably.
Three to 600
at most.
It's a
small venue. Yeah.
Okay.
Very small, dedicated crowd.
Very regular crowd that recognizes these girls and knows them, likes them, wants to see them, takes that division seriously.
Yes.
Okay, now you bring it onto the main stage, right? There's, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have never seen these girls before and who are conditioned not to care about the Divas division.
That's true. Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? So you've got to take that into context that, you know, and I'm sure it plays a little bit with those women where, you know, they're going out in NXT and getting standing ovations and, you know, like the real revolution is happening there. And then they come out here and Stephanie McMahon goes, guess what? It's time for the Divas revolution. And she's a heel.
Yeah.
And then they bring out all these girls and the crowd is conditioned not to care.
Yeah.
You know, like these girls got to build from the ground up and they got to establish, you have to have a real Divas revolution before the crowd will get behind it.
I think if anything, the NXT work is proof positive that you can't really blame the girls for the most part. I mean, like, there's been some who have come up where you're just like, how in the world did they ever get a job in the wrestling business, you know? But for the most part, they seem to be, you know, talented ring workers who want it, and they have drive, and they're able to go on and put on the show that you would want to see.
Right.
It's just like you said. I mean, they're, you know, the crowds are conditioned not to care, and the girls are conditioned to do a certain way. But it's the, you know, the system there that's doing the conditioning. Right. Is where you go.
Yeah.
You know.
And we were talking about this earlier, just in relation to most of the NXT talent in general. You know, you're talking about that crowd over there that knows them. They're a smaller crowd, but they know them. And I think the biggest issue is, you know, these guys get popular and they get built up and they feel like they're ready to bring them to the main roster. And then they bring these guys in the main roster, and when they don't get over the same way they did in NXT, after a month, Vince decides that they're not working and they get sent down to purgatory. Well, you can't just bring them over and expect the crowd to immediately latch onto these people without buildup. You've got to let them get over with the crowd, and you've got to give them a direction to run. You can't just throw them out there, decide after four matches that they didn't catch on, so they're done for.
Yeah.
And we've seen this happen with guys like Tyler Breeze most recently, you know, who he worked really well in NXT because his job in NXT was to be like a mid-card heel.
Right.
That was what he did. And he was brought over to the main roster to do that same thing. He was never going to be the guy that come over here and be a champion, but he could be a good mid-card heel.
Yeah.
He came over here, worked like a month against Dolph Ziggler, and then Vince apparently said, nope, I don't buy it, and now he's in purgatory. You know what I mean?
Well,
and
That's the problem right now.
Yeah.
Everybody's mid-card.
Yeah, everybody is mid-card.
They're not looking for mid-carders.
Yeah.
They need some guys. They're bringing guys in looking for guys to be runaway hits that they can turn into big stars.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're not looking for mid-carders. So if Tyler Breeze comes in, he's a great mid-carder. You know, he could probably push some of the guys out of their spot, or at least out of their comfort zone, that are like in that mid-card spot right now, you know. And maybe if you let them push some guys out of their comfort zone, they will want to move up, not down.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, you know, that might light a fire under some other guys. But that's not what they're interested in.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, is he going to be a runaway hit? No, he's not.
Done. Yeah. Yeah. It's obvious that's what they're doing. That's exactly what it feels like. And so, yeah, it almost gets kind of sad when you see that happening, especially like Sasha Banks, man. Like, I'm really worried about for Sasha Banks. Now, I guess we should bring up, you know, like, Charlotte retained her title tonight against Becky Lynch, and then they had this moment where Sasha Banks came out, and I think she just came back from a little injury, too. She wasn't gone for very long. But she popped out tonight, and they kind of played up their little friendship that they had in NXT, and then she turned around and wrapped the bank statement on Charlotte to kind of tease the next Diva feud, which, you know, is kind of fun and exciting, except, like, I'm just worried that Sasha Banks is just getting caught up in the same old, whose turn is it to have the belt now? Because that's the mentality they treat the Divas with.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They just trade that belt around.
If she even gets the belt, I'm sure they want to keep that on Charlotte for a while, so it's just... Who wants to lose on a pay-per-view?
Who's going to lose to Charlotte next? Yeah, exactly. Now, maybe they will build up a cool story with these two for Mania. Maybe. We could hope. But I'm with you. I don't think they will. It sucks.
You know, it's sad because you got to go with the track record.
Exactly. You know? Like, we just watched Sasha and Bayley have this really entertaining, awesome feud in NXT that ended with an Iron Man match, which was a good Iron Man match.
Yeah, it was a really
and,
good match.
Yeah, and now we have to hope that Sasha doesn't just flounder into obscurity on the main roster.
Yep.
It's kind of sad, so...
Well, and like you said, then you start getting scared for, like, other people.
Like, don't bring Bayley up. Go ahead and just leave Bayley there. She's doing good.
Yeah. Why don't you guys pull Eva Marie back up, then you can fire her.
Yeah, pull. Yeah. We can go ahead and just do away with
Eva. Well, I mean, it all comes down to there's got to be somebody that stands out and just says, hey, let me do my thing.
Yeah.
And let's see if it works. And the New Day... kind of did that.
Right.
And it's kind of working. But guy or girl division, most of these guys are either too scared or too conditioned not to really stand out.
Yeah.
Like, standing out is dangerous. That's the kind of thing that gets you fired. Right. You know? Yeah, it's make or break at that point.
Right.
And most of these guys are comfortable. So there's no reason to take the make or break chance.
Right.
And I think the girls division, you know, the Diva division is the exact same way. They've got to quit parading the exact same... They've got to stop just making it a commercial, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've got to let it be a division with actual, you know, characters and rivalry.
Yes, yes.
Instead of just saying, okay, here's who we drew out of the hat today.
And yeah, they have know, to get past that, for sure.
Yeah. And,
for sure.
And until that... And again, I think... I mean, we've proven... It has been proven that crowds will accept it if you give them good stuff, because there's been some pretty... hyped and popular, you know, Diva stuff in the past. And they obviously have a built-in audience for the Diva division as a whole. Once again, I don't think it's an audience that's going to turn away from them if the wrestling aspect starts getting satisfied, you know?
Yeah.
Because you can do all the Diva-type stuff in your promos and your vignettes and whatever else and still trot them out there for good storylines and matches that are consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that would hurt the other side. I just feel like they're kind of like... They're worried about other stuff, and they're already getting the numbers that they want where they want, so they just kind of keep going on with the same path. So,
yeah.
You kept talking about how they throw a guy out there and hope it's a runaway success, and when it's not, it just moves on to the next one. Yep. It just reminds me, it's like, that's how I've always considered the Fox Channel to be with, like, its TV show. Like, I've had that argument about them the whole time, you know? Like,
oh, man.
Hey, we got a pretty good show. It's pulling in decent numbers. It's kind of cheap to produce. Can we keep doing it? That sounds great. Is it pulling an X-Files number?
Right.
Like, no, nothing pulls an X-Files number.
Is it
okay,
as big
scrap
as
it.
Scrap it.
Yeah.
Leave it to John to bring it back to TV.
That's what I do. I'm the TV analyst.
That's
why I'm
here.
Yeah, for sure.
When I made that point. it was a layup, dude. I just was waiting for you.
Yeah. There you go.
Setting you up.
Well, I rebounded it. Is that... I don't watch basketball.
I rebounded it.
Is that the right term?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, that brings
us
to the Alley Swoosh.
Good job. That's the right terminology.
All right.
That brings us to the 2016 Royal Rumble match.
There we go.
Our 30-man Royal Rumble, which for the first time ever is a situation where the WWE champion has to defend his title.
And in one of the WWE, let's work this in a very specific description, so it's the first time ever.
Yeah,
exactly. Because
we discussed that earlier. We even watched the 92 one where the title was vacant, so the Rumble was for the title.
Yes.
But in this case, it wasn't vacant.
Yes.
The
So it's not the first time the Rumble has been for the belt,
but
it's the first time that the champion was defending his belt in the Rumble.
Yeah.
So
it was the first time a guy went in without the belt and had to win it to keep the belt.
Yeah.
Which effectively is not different.
Yeah. Well, it kind of is, because the situation here is, like, you've got the guy who's holding the belt, you know, so he's in the match, and it actually makes it a little less interesting when he's in the match the entire time, because then you're just like, well, he's probably just going to win because he's here the whole time, which was exactly what we were worried about the whole time. And we'll be getting to that. So, Roman Reigns is the champion. He is forced to open the match at number one because he's been feuding with Vince McMahon and Stephanie. That's like the storyline that they're doing. And of course, if you've been watching the WWE at all, you kind of understand what's going on with the whole Roman Reigns situation.
Or if you've watched in the last 20 years, you kind of understand what's going on with the whole storyline.
Exactly, exactly. They're trying to recreate a classic style storyline of the, you know, outnumbered good guy working against the maniacal boss who's trying to hold him down because they want the crowd to be behind the underdog. Right. But in this case, it's a situation where they're absolutely trying to force this as hard as they can because people just aren't getting behind Roman Reigns the way they want them to. Yeah. And
well, I mean, when you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle, like, which, you know, they caught it in, what, 97?
With Austin.
When the Austin thing started, and they've been trying to recreate it.
I don't even think they caught lightning in a... I mean, they caught lightning in a bottle. But, you know what, like, I made this point the other day to my trainees.
Yep.
We were talking about this. And when you had Austin and McMahon, okay, you could believe that Austin was not the, you know, the corporate stereotype. You know, the guy they don't want for the face of the company.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, and it was, and so you had Austin, the redneck, drinking beer, throwing the middle finger. Yeah, that's not the guy I want as the face of my company.
Right.
You know who I want? I want The Rock. He's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. He's clean cut. He's the corporate guy.
Yeah.
That storyline was super believable, and everybody got behind it.
Yeah.
Because nobody is The Rock.
Right.
Ever since that storyline, they have done it wrong because they do it backwards.
Yes.
They find a guy that is absolutely not, you know, the corporate image. Randy Orton. Do they even have somebody with Roman Reigns? Like who do they...
Well, Seth Rollins, I mean, Seth Rollins was the corporate guy.
Yeah, you know, Seth Rollins. Okay. Well, Seth Rollins. He's small. He's hairy. He's totally not the WWE's corporate image.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who is the WWE's corporate image? John Cena and Roman Reigns. And those are both the guys that... the authorities have spent the last 10 years going, don't want you.
Well, and that's the other thing. We were talking about this because I was there and we were talking about that in class that day. John Cena is the worst offender here because in storyline, they try to say, we don't want John Cena to be the face of our company. But then everything that's happening outside of storyline is John Cena being the face of your company.
Right.
He's going to all your press releases. He's on your cereal boxes. He's on all of your merchandise. Yeah. He's on your magazine covers. He's doing all your interviews. He is the corporate image. He is corporate WWE.
Right.
Why on earth do you guys not understand when the crowd's not getting behind that? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they... they know he's the corporate guy, and that's kind of why they don't want to be cheering
for him. Because they know what story worked really well. They don't exactly know why it worked really well. They hit all the wrong high points.
Yeah. You also know who identifies with guys like John Cena and Roman Reigns, you know, that are built well and look good and have been successful in most areas of their life and are getting to live their dream? Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
You know who does not identify with those guys? Anybody buying a ticket to a wrestling show.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think he's talking about me.
He's talking about you for sure.
Oh, wow. Wow.
John. I
mean, on my own show.
On your own show. On your own show. Wow.
I mean, I saw that right away. Yeah. I knew exactly what he was talking about. Oh, man. Yeah, that's definitely the biggest hurdle that Roman Reigns has had, you know? And We're kind of in that era, too, which we've seen just over the course of the last 3 years now, the evolution here of the audience just kind of not putting up with that anymore. Mm-hmm. And they've been getting behind the guys that they enjoy watching. Yeah. And, you know, that's why you saw the guys like CM Punk getting chanted and chanted and chanted. Yeah. And Daniel Bryan got pushed all the way to the main event into a title position because the crowd was not going to let anything else happen. Yeah.
I will tell you, it's probably not doing much for their numbers and their ratings and whatnot. I really have no idea where the numbers are right now.
I think but I, they're the lowest they've been.
Yeah, they're so, like some of the lowest.
I'm not even kind of shocked, and I don't. Yeah. I mean, I don't think wrestling is going to tumble or fall or go away. It'll hit its high point again.
It cycles like
that. Yeah, exactly. Else. But some of the most fun I have is watching their plans not work. Like, I mean, when you get to that match tonight, like we talked about, you know, like I like the Usos. I think they're kind of bland. Like, you like them a lot more than I do. But, you know, New Day, I'm not very, you know, I don't know them very well, but I was entertained by them tonight. But crowd was behind the heels there.
Yeah.
The crowd didn't give a crap about the Usos. They just wanted to cheer
they
for
were
the New
booing
Day.
The Usos and cheering the New Day.
And several times throughout the match, you know, any time they push Roman Reigns out there, it's always to boos. And no matter who fights him, because they'll cycle through whoever they want to try to get to the point where they can find someone that the crowd hates so that they'll like. Like, they don't want to make people like Roman Reigns. They want to find someone the crowd hates and put them against Roman Reigns. And it the opposite of that works every time.
Yep. Well,
whoever's fighting him is immediately cheered.
Well, you guys remember, I mean, that like last year at WrestleMania, like Roman Reigns won the Rumble last year and got booed out of the building. Like,
2 years in a row booed. That the winner of the Rumble got Batista booed out of the building. Reigns. Yep. Batista and Reigns.
Yep. So Reigns went on to fight Lesnar at Mania, and the crowd straight up decided Lesnar was the face in that match.
Yep.
And they cheered, and Lesnar was the heel in that feud, but the crowd...
And you know Brock was confused.
The crowd won, So the crowd was...
I don't think so. I think Brock was probably just like, finally, see, that's what I've been saying.
So they were completely behind Lesnar, and, you know, the match actually was pretty good for... We were, like, kind of worried about it.
Yeah, I was
super
happy with that match.
You know, and then Rollins cashed in, and the crowd went bananas for the cash in, because it was something unexpected, and people always love the unexpected.
That's the big thing right there, like the unexpected, like we are entertained by being surprised. We keep getting served the same dish over and over again.
And it's so predictable, too, because you said Roman, you know, the last 2 years, the winner's been booed out of the building, Roman and Batista. When Batista won, they were cheering Roman.
Yep.
It came down to him and Roman.
And Brian, but Brian had already been eliminated, remember?
Daniel Bryan
that was the year when Brian got eliminated. They just gave up. They were like, boo, everybody.
But
they wanted Reigns to win.
When it came down to Batista and Roman, and they wanted Roman to win because they knew Batista was there to win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, the WWE fans are tired of being served.
Wasn't
the standard, you know, what they expect. Yes. You know, they're tired of being served.
People
want to
be surprised. They want to see something different.
Am I mixing this up? Wasn't the year Batista won the year that Daniel Bryan wasn't even in the Rumble?
Yes.
Because it got to number 30, and the crowd was primed for Daniel Bryan.
Right.
And Rey Mysterio came out instead, and I thought they were going to riot.
Poor Rey Mysterio got booed more than he has ever been booed in his life because he wasn't Daniel
Bryan. He had
Bryan.
No idea what was going on.
Yep. And
he
then
ran out there all high energy, and the crowd was like,
and Batista,
just mad.
Batista made his big face return, remember?
Yeah.
It was his big face return, and he won the Rumble, and he's looking around, and the place is booing him out of the building, and he had no idea why.
He had no idea why.
Yeah. That was nuts.
Big Dave not happy.
Yeah. But he was smart, though, because he understood at the time what was going on, and he made he turned heel after that, and he was happy to turn heel, and he put Brian over, remember? He put Brian over in that whole thing, and that actually turned out to be, that turned out to be one of the best Manias that we had seen in a long time.
Yeah.
That night was just awesome. It was a great night. So then as soon as Brian got hurt and basically had to give up the belt, that's when they kind of started just forcing, well, Roman Reigns is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
We've decided Roman Reigns is the guy. And instantly the crowd was like, nope.
Yep.
No, he's not.
Yep.
So they kept trying to push it, and the crowd was rejecting it. So, yeah, and then last year was another one of Rumbles, just like this year, where, like, it wasn't really exciting going into the Rumble. Yeah.
Well,
everybody
knew exactly
what was going to happen.
Telegraphed the winner the last 2 years.
And then Reigns won because everybody knew he was going to win, and the place
they
blew
might
him
well,
out of
they
the
might
building.
As well put it on the poster.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
So he's been fighting this battle ever since.
He's your Royal Rumble champion. Yeah. Come see it happen.
Yeah. So he's been fighting this battle for a year now, where they're still trying to make him the top guy, and it still isn't working.
I feel bad for Roman Reigns, because people did like him until the WWE told people that they had to like him.
Disagree.
Disagree. Explain.
people liked him Okay, he was a member of the Shield.
People love the Shield.
And he seemed to be a standout member of the Shield.
Yeah.
But that's because his role was to be the hot tag.
Yeah.
He was to be the closer.
Yeah.
You cheer for the closing.
Yeah.
Okay? When he left the Shield, when they split the Shield up, all of his weaknesses were exposed. I don't think that they stopped liking Roman because, well, here he is. You know what I mean? This is our guy. I think it had less to do with that and more just to do with he was exposed. Because he was still getting cheered when they split the Shield up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When it was gradually, as the Shield was split up and he was trying to have singles matches and trying to talk on the mic and didn't have Rollins and Ambrose to prop him up anymore,
yeah,
his popularity started declining. And I think it was definitely worsened by when they were like, oh, he's the guy, you know.
And here's where I will minorly disagree with you, and it'll end up being like different variations of the same argument.
Okay.
So I think we're both on the same page. We just see it from slightly different perspectives.
Okay.
Because I saw the crowd turning on him as much quicker, like immediate when that happened, because they were still cheering him after the Shield.
Right.
And I'm not saying that they would have continued to, and he would have been the big guy if they had let, you know, nature run its course. What I'm saying is maybe they had started to slow down a little bit, but he was still on a high when they tried to push him as that face. And then immediately the crowd turned. So I think you probably would have been right in the long run.
Yeah.
I don't think they gave you the chance to be in that case because when they pushed that button, the crowd went, nope.
Well, here's what I will counter that with. I think if he had been able to deliver, they would have rode that wagon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he had come out of the Shield, and, you know, had been hot and had cut promos like Ambrose, you know, I don't even say, you know, you always want to say, oh, if he had cut promos like The Rock. No, if he had cut promos like Ambrose could cut promos, if he could cut promos like Rollins could cut promos, if he was a little more, you know, less back-ended, you know, he didn't have to do anything in the beginning of matches with the Shield.
Yeah.
You know, he had to prop himself up. If he had been a little more well-rounded and a little more ready to grab that brass ring, I think the crowd would have rode with him.
Yeah.
And that's where
That's
where the agree
we'll
to disagree,
know.
I think. Yeah. Exactly.
Never know.
You know,
but
like,
regardless, we know exactly the situation we're in now. Like, they're still trying to make this guy the top guy. He's been the WWE champion since Seth. Seth had to forfeit the title because he got a bad injury, which sucks. Because I was enjoying his run. I don't know when he's supposed to be back, but it was a pretty bad injury.
It's like a year.
It's going to be a big, like, hey, he's going to be white hot when he comes back, though.
Hope so.
Holy cow. I hope. I hope, man. But, yeah, so they ended up doing, like, the tournament, and Reigns just won the tournament. You know, it was super. It was they had a moment there where they could have done something interesting and different, and instead they just let Reigns win that tournament and they gave him the title, and that brought us to this whole storyline where Vince decided that he didn't want him to be the face of the company, he doesn't want him to be the champion, so they did this whole storyline building up to the Rumble, where we're in this exact same situation where you just like, well, now they've got a chance to do something special again. They could do something unpredictable. But the odds are that Reigns is just going to win and go in there. And that's almost how this whole thing felt and was built up to. And it was almost like we were sitting there just going, before it even started, we were like already like, something to happen.
Do you think it would have worked if they had just simply switched Rollins and Reigns right after the Shield split? If, like you said, they took Reigns, who looks like the face of the company, and put him in the corporate stable.
I have often thought that if they made him the anti-hero. Yeah.
Yes.
I've often thought that Reigns would make the great corporate guy, like heel. I think even now if they tried to kind of hoping they would make that swerve before all this stuff happened. Cuz I think that would be a good way to make him interesting and
Well, here's the thing. It would feel real.
Yeah.
Okay, if you took a guy that everybody knows, like, this is the guy, you know, and you say, this is going to be our guy, and then on the storyline, you're like, this is the guy. Yeah, he's going to be a super hot heel because the fans go, yeah, that's who they want as their guy. We know that's who they want. You know, they're going to start to feel like things are as they are. You know what I mean? It's going to feel kind of shoot, you know? Like, that's why Daniel Bryan worked so well, because they drug it out and they continued to hold him down. And, you know, that's the way that whole Daniel Bryan thing worked out is the way that storyline should have been booked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Like they thought, you know, who knows if that was their plan? Who knows how much of that they planned? Yeah. You know, but I mean, the simple fact is, like, that's how that storyline should have been booked. You know, even when they brought in, you know, Batista, and they were like, clearly this is our guy. And then they kept him as, clearly this is our guy.
Yeah.
And the fans are going, no, we want Roman, or, you know, we want Daniel Bryan. And they're going, no, not Daniel Bryan. He's a B-plus player. You know what I mean? Yeah, absolutely. If they had taken Roman Reigns and been like, this is our guy, and they had put the belt on him then as a heel, and he'd be a super hot over heel, and Ambrose and Rollins would be twice as hot as they were as faces.
Gosh, and I mean, Rollins is so hot. I mean, Ambrose is so hot right now. Mm-hmm. Like, people love Ambrose.
Yep.
So yeah, that would have been cool. I think I agree with that for sure. So this Rumble opens up with Reigns and Rusev.
We had a conversation right before the Rumble.
Yeah.
Jaren said, if it's all going to depend on number two. Because if number two is like, and who did you even say?
I said Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, like number two's Lesnar, then some interesting things are going to happen, and it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be a great Rumble. If number two is just one of those guys from the...
I said Jack Swagger.
Oh, you did say Swagger.
I said
if number two is Swagger,
we know it's just going to be
the same old garbage. But you listed a couple of options, I think, because I thought Rusev was even one of them, or at least like that stable was one of them. It's like, if it's one of those guys from the League of Nations, you know, then we're doomed. And then Rusev comes out, and you're like, well
here this is how this is going to go. And that's totally how the beginning of the Rumble went.
And the middle and most of the end.
And most of the end, yep. Now, we did have a surprise pretty early on, because Rusev got eliminated pretty much immediately.
Should we just get like Reigns out of the way? Just talk about that, and then we can talk about some of the cool. We can end on the good
notes.
That's
note,
true.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Well.
So let's get Reigns out.
We're not
going
to do a play by play.
No, we're not doing a play by play for sure.
Leave.
Yeah, that'll be nuts. So yeah, the Reigns stuff. I mean, he was dominant. He is exactly what we were expecting him to be. So it was boring.
Yep.
And then they did a big angle about midway through the Rumble where Vince McMahon and the League of Nations came marching down to the ring and pulled him out under the ropes and attacked him on the outside. They put him through a table, and then they were like, ha-ha, that'll do it, and they just left him there.
Walked away and left him there.
Crushed, but outside the ring, not eliminated.
Not eliminated.
You know, and
of course, they make the huge... You know, Michael Cole says 15 times in a row, Roman Reigns hasn't been eliminated.
Yeah.
He's still in this Rumble.
So it was not exciting at all, because now you're going, great. Now they've given him the excuse to not be in this match, but still come back out and just retain his title, which is even more boring than letting him be out there and fight through the whole thing.
And like, as a running theme kind of that pops up a couple of parts in this Rumble, we go back to also the rules, which they'll bill it situationally when they need to as this no holds barred match.
Right,
so stuff like this is totally legal. They do another thing that we'll talk about a little while later with the Wyatts and stuff, where, like, you know, eliminated guys are coming back and attacking guys who aren't.
Yeah.
And we said, or at least I said a couple of times during the event, you really need to streamline that rule. That rule's either got to be, you know, very open, or you got to find a way to close that off, because there was absolutely no reason. And I know it's wrestling, so sometimes that is the reason.
Yeah,
it's wrestling. But even beyond that, sometimes it's wrestling just isn't quite good enough.
Yeah.
If your goal is to bring these four monsters out and kill the guy that you don't want to win, there's no reason for them to have not just rushed the ring, popped him over the top rope, and then beaten him up for a while.
Yes.
Or
exactly.
Once he was crushed and unable to move, roll him back into the ring, go in and eliminate him yourself, or let somebody else do it.
Right.
To just leave him laying in a crumpled mess in the corner is nothing but telegraphing a move we've seen 100 times.
Exactly.
And again, the first time we saw it, it might have worked and been interesting. But the 100th time you see it, you just know what's going to happen, and it's boring.
It was totally predictable.
Like I said, it's just like, it's like having your hero in a death trap, and then you tell him your grand master scheme, and then walk away and leave him to die.
Yeah.
You know the hero's going to escape. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly what that situation is.
And sometimes with storytelling stuff like that, like it's a classic, like it's a classic because it works. Right. So it's okay to keep using it. And sometimes it's just, well, here's what they're feeding us, and it's boring. And as the storytellers, they should be able to tell the difference once in a while.
Right. You know? Right. Yep. So then they, like, the EMTs and stuff came out with a stretcher, and he refused to be put on the stretcher, but they still walked him to the back, and it was just like,
Which I thought was funny. Like, I'm not getting in your stretcher, but I will just leave.
Yeah, I'll just go and walk back. Yeah. So he left, but like you said, Michael Cole told us a million times that he wasn't actually eliminated, setting him up to just come back whenever, you know, it was easiest for him to come back and retain. So we were all at this point kind of like, please something happen. Something interesting happen, because this is worse than we imagined.
Yeah. because Dan said right away, well, now we know he's coming back and he's pretty much got to be winning. And Jaren is prone to do, gives us a little bit of hope, because he goes, well, maybe they're playing the injury angle and he's just gone, and then that way he's got claim to the belt or the Mania spot, so that kind of sets that up.
Yeah.
And then, of course, lo and behold, later on, he just comes back. Yeah. As soon as he does, we're like,
during Sheamus' entrance. Yeah, Sheamus is walking to the ring, and all of a sudden, Roman Reigns is back! And he attacks Sheamus from behind, and he beats him up on the outside, and then he runs in the ring, and then clears the ring, you know, almost, like he throws a bunch of dudes out, and he's Superman, and out there, and he's back, and he's just doing that. And we're like, oh, well, here it is. Roman Reigns is just going to win now, you know. But we got down to the last guy at this point, because we were all speculating who the last guy was going to be. And we just wanted to see somebody interesting, because we saw a few very minor surprises tonight. I guess there was one kind of cool surprise at the beginning, but there wasn't anything like really, really exciting. Yeah. Like, you kept calling for Undertaker to pop out, which would have been cool. We all had this little shred of hope that maybe Daniel Bryan would randomly show up. Like I know we keep hearing that he's not cleared, but I there's always that little bit inside that I'm like, maybe they just keep saying that because they're waiting for something big, and this could be that big thing, and that would be exciting, and you know the crowd would erupt if Bryan came running out. But as we were kind of getting to that countdown, I think we all kind of came to that realization at the same point, because I said earlier, I wouldn't be surprised to see Triple H in this Rumble tonight because of the storyline they've been working with the McMahons.
Right.
And Triple H hasn't been around for a while, because pretty early on into this storyline, Roman Reigns beat him up, and then he just hasn't been part of the storyline since.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of guessed earlier in the day, I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Triple H in this Rumble tonight, and it adds to this whole feud with Reigns. And and then as we're counting down to the last guy, I was like, oh, what about Triple H? Yeah. And then that music hits, and boom.
Well, and that was funny, because we were saying, well, it's got to be somebody else lame, and whoever's in there is in there, and we got to figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think, I was like, well, there's still Bryan or Undertaker. There's the outside hope of that. And right then is when you were like, we're Triple H. And immediately Jaren's like, oh, yep, it's H.
Yeah,
it's going to be H, and he's going to win the belt.
Yep. And then that music hits, and H comes out, and this is another one of those big signs for everybody. The crowd was way behind Triple H.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Immediately. He walks out. The crowd's marking out for his entrance. The music goes off. The crowd's chanting, Triple H. And he, you know, they're behind him.
Yeah.
They want him to win immediately.
Like, the one thing that the crowd knows is that Reigns is going to retain.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what can help that not happen so that we're interested at all.
Exactly.
And they saw Triple H and thought the same thing. Hey, there's a guy.
That's our key. Yeah. That's
Remember
our
when
ticket.
He was awesome.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. They were behind Triple H because he wasn't Roman Reigns.
Yep.
And they saw he was the only person in that ring who had a chance of eliminating Roman Reigns. Because at this point, and this is another big, goes all the way back to the lack of star power we have in the company right now. All the guys that were left in the ring, there wasn't a single one of those guys that you could believe is winning the belt, except for maybe Dean Ambrose.
I would, because there was a few guys in there. I think Ziggler was one.
Ziggler was there.
There
Jericho
was Ambrose.
Was there.
There was Jericho. I think there was at least one.
Wyatt was in there.
All three of those guys I would put in the classification, and I said that we're watching. I said they at least did a good job of filling at the end here. A bunch of guys who definitely aren't going to win, probably.
Right. Yeah, definitely aren't going to win, probably.
Because you look at it and you go, these guys aren't winning. Except if for some bizarre outside chance they were going to put it on somebody who wasn't Reigns or H, this is the tier it would probably fall to. You know? So
that's
true. We know it's not going to work, But there's that 1% chance that maybe.
Right. So they worked for a little while there, and we got to see them kind of work their finishers and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, H hit a pedigree, and Reigns hit a spear, and they kind of traded that back and forth, you know, on other guys, you know, while they were kind of staring off.
Yeah, there's a big finisher-a-thon for a while.
There was a big finish, and then there was a big finisher-a-thon and I everybody say, in the ring.
And I was a little bit delighted by that, because they kind of, it wasn't just, it started off with just Reigns and H taking turns wailing on guys while staring at each other.
Yeah.
But then after a couple minutes, they both got knocked down, and then everybody just kind of cycled through, and that was just fun to watch.
They just all hit their finishers, right?
Yeah.
So then everybody kind of pretty much got eliminated then at that point, and it came down to, like, Ambrose and Reigns and H.
Yep.
And then, to our surprise, Roman Reigns gets eliminated by Triple H. So immediately we have two guys in the ring now. Who is one of these guys is going to be a new champion?
Yeah,
of these guys is going to be a new champion.
And so, at this point, you're at least happy.
Yeah, we were
with either one.
We were kind of happy now, because we were like, "Holy!" Well, because immediately when we all went, "What if they put the belt on Ambrose?"
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we finally got a little bit of excitement in this Rumble. Like, finally, we didn't know exactly what was going to happen.
Right.
We had a little bit of doubt, and that's what makes it interesting. Which is exactly why I wanted to see Reigns get eliminated early, because then we would have had a whole Rumble of not knowing.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the Rumble exciting. But at least we finally got down to this moment where we didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And we kind of had a fun little back and forth with some nice little falsies there that got a little antsy right before H finally pulled out the big win. He eliminated Ambrose. Mm-hmm. And now Triple H, corporate Triple H, is a, what'd they say, 15-time or 14-time? 14? I think they said 14-time world champion.
Yeah,
so he's our new champion.
Cena's 15.
Flair 16.
Right.
Yeah, so now 14, 15, 16.
Oh, Cena's still behind Flair?
Cena's still behind Flair.
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
That's why Jon Stewart traded on him, because he didn't think anybody should ever talk.
Oh, that's
Flair.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's
in fairness, though, that was like a year ago. He could have won the belt three times since then.
That's true. Yeah, no joke.
He's been on vacation and then injured.
Yep.
I know that, man. I don't watch wrestling.
I don't watch wrestling. Listen. So, yeah, Triple H is now our champion, which is kind of, and the crowd, well, it was cool because the crowd got way behind Ambrose at this end spot.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun because all of a sudden they all probably did the same thing as us. Holy crap, Ambrose could win this. This will be amazing. So they all got behind Ambrose. But even as Triple H was standing in the middle of the ring holding that belt with Stephanie and Vince, like, cheering for him, the crowd was happy.
Yeah.
They were still, like, cheering for Triple H. So, I mean, like, I almost... That's got to, like, show something, I
feel
like.
It's the funny mixed message, too, that the crowd sends to those guys.
Yeah.
You remember, like, these are the guys making the decisions and, you know, quote-unquote causing the problems. I always hesitate to say that because I make it sound like it's so easy to run a multi-billion-dollar business, you know. Yeah, exactly.
They just bring me in.
Yeah.
I can fix everything for them.
Armchair bookers,
I guess. Armchair bookers.
You know, they've done this for... you know, 30 plus years to the scale they're doing it now, and we're still watching, so they're doing something right. So it's not like all hate, but for the purposes of this discussion, these are the guys causing the problem.
Yes.
These are the guys going, you have to eat this, and the crowd going, well, we don't want to eat that.
Right.
You know, but then they turn around and go, well, fine, we're just going to do it. And then the crowd goes, yay! Like, we don't want to take what you give us unless you give us, you know, I don't know, like something we're used to, like you.
Yeah.
You
know? yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see, I guess, where we go now. A little more interesting, because like you said earlier, you said at least there's a storyline now.
Yeah.
Going into Mania, at least we have a storyline with Roman Reigns versus Triple H for the title. We assume that's where they're going with it.
Well, and you know, it has to be where they're going with it.
It has to be.
You know, has to be, barring an injury.
Yeah.
You know? But you know Triple H is going to be there. You know, Triple H... delivers good TV. I mean, we've loved Triple H for years and years and years.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's gonna
be there. It's not on Brock Lesnar, who's gonna disappear until WrestleMania.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. We're not waiting to see, you know, whether the Undertaker shows up or whether there's a video package or whether there's a mind game. You know.
Right.
We're not waiting to see what The Rock tweets out. You know what I mean? We've got two guys that are gonna be the main event, and they're going to be there, and they're going to build a storyline.
That's a good point. That's something that we have had lacking in the main event of Mania for a couple of years almost, it feels like.
You know, well, even the year Daniel Bryan was doing it. You know, looking back, you can see, like, how great of a build it was and, you know, the whole time. And while you're watching it, you're kind of on the fence, like, you know, because, well, you know, Dave was still kind of back and forth. He wasn't there every week, you know. Yeah. Batista wasn't there every week, you know what I mean? Randy Orton, you're tired of him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan, you don't know, you know, are they really going to get behind him? Are they really going to do it? You know what I mean?
They were doing cool build with Bryan, but they have done cool build with people like that 1,000 times and still just give you whatever junk match pops up.
Right. Yeah. You know, it kind of, it's almost, you know, The Rock and Austin.
Yeah.
When those guys, when those guys set up for their manias, it was a collision course.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you knew.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got to feel like, you know, okay, what are they going to do this week? What are they going to do next week? You know what I mean?
So now like, we've got that again.
We get that collision course for the first time.
That's cool to think about for
years.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, I'm anxious, I guess. I want to see what's going to happen. Now, we're officially on the road to WrestleMania, so let's see if they can make it interesting, and hopefully the whole card can shape up to be something cool, because that's the other thing I was telling you earlier. I felt like I had no idea what they could possibly be aiming for Mania this year, because everything is so incredibly lackluster this year. Like, I had no idea what they could possibly do that would be exciting for WrestleMania. So at least we have one major storyline now that we know is for sure going to happen.
Yep.
So let's talk about some of the other things then that happened throughout the Rumble, man. Very early on, we got our big surprise. I think this is really only our one real surprise. Yeah. And you know, the Rumble usually has a bunch of surprises, and that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, I kind of always have throwback guys show up, and I kind of feel like they don't do much. But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like we were lacking a lot of that tonight. Like, Goldust showed up, and we haven't seen a whole lot of him, but it's not like he's been gone for a very long time. So
I also think,
you know,
though, we kind of got spoiled. Like really, though, that was like just kind of like a 5-year period where they did that every year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the last few, the years before that, it certainly wasn't that.
Yeah.
Because there weren't really those guys to come back and
that's
do that.
That's true.
And since then, you know, like a lot of those guys are kind of retiring, not doing it anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think there's less of that.
Not
now.
As big of a pool.
Not as big
right,
of a pool.
You know, yeah.
Because if, I mean, if the surprise every year is the same guy.
Right.
It's not that big of a surprise anymore either,
The first year they announced Goldust was going to be back, we were like, oh, Goldust, cool.
Yeah.
You know, but then now he's back every year for the
Rumble. Yeah, I was going to say, he's one of those guys that's always in the Rumble, it seems like. So our big, big surprise tonight then was number 3, who was AJ Styles. AJ Styles. And there's been a lot of rumors and then announcements and everything in the weeks building up about how he was in talks with WWE for a contract, and then the news was made official, they signed him, so everybody was going, do you think he's going to show up in the Rumble, or is this just going to be an NXT thing? Like, there was big speculation. And then, sure enough, number 3, the music, you know, Reigns is in the ring by himself, and here comes AJ Styles, who actually gets to be AJ Styles, which is kind of cool. He got a big ovation.
Call him some dumb name.
Yep, they didn't give him a WWE name. They called him AJ Styles.
PJ Riles.
PJ Riles. You know, he came out, he got a big ovation, which was pretty cool, and he actually stayed out there for a decent amount of time.
Yeah, he was there for like a half.
He was out there for a long time.
They,
so.
Michael Quote and his random Michael Cole in his random Michael Coleness. Was kind of randomly throwing out times for some of the guys who had been in there a while, and I think he said AJ Styles was there for like 28 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
You're saying nothing to be ashamed about there for a WWE debut at all.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So it'll be really cool to see what happens with AJ now. We were kind of talking about that too. If he's just going to go work NXT for a while, if is he going to stay on the main roster and do a storyline build for Mania? I mean,
I would think, as starved as they are for guys, if you've got a built-in chance at a storyline, run
maybe
with it, but who knows?
Well, you made a really cool observation about him earlier while we were watching. You said that AJ Styles was kind of like the Sting of our generation, because he's the guy who was able to make a name on his own without the WWE, and now he's finally at the WWE he's already a big star on his own right. And that's kind of cool. You're right. In that aspect, he is kind of like Sting. So I don't know. I think they might keep him around on the main roster. And I mean, with WrestleMania coming up, maybe they will do something with him.
You know, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, ever since they started bringing up guys, indie guys, since they started hiring the indie darlings, every time one of them gets signed, the rumor is they're going straight to the main roster. They're bypassing, developmental. Mm-hmm. They said that about CM Punk. CM Punk spent a long time in developmental. They said that about Cesaro, because they signed him and Chris Hero at the same time, and they were doing the Kings of Wrestling tag team, And the rumors were, oh, they want to reinvigorate the tag division, and they're going to bring them both right to TV. They're bypassing developmental entirely. Yeah, Cesaro went to developmental for a long time, and Chris Hero went to developmental for a short time before he got fired.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So like,
well, even Kevin Owens was in NXT for like a year or something, right? Before he actually came up, like maybe not quite that long, but he definitely went through NXT.
Well,
everybody goes to developmental because they have to learn how to work the TV system.
Yeah,
that's the bottom line. They're not going to put anybody on TV that they aren't comfortable with working the TV system and watching the cue calls because, you know, WWE TV is worth what?
Yeah.
$12,000 a minute like or something that, like that.
That sentence in it right there is just so reflective of all the good and all the bad
right.
of
yeah.
the system, like
yeah,
all in
absolutely.
One.
Like, absolutely.
You can't put a guy up there because it'll just feel off, and you're right, and that would stink. But you can't put a guy up there because they have to learn to fit into this cookie cutter, and you don't want that either.
Right.
Yeah. Now, if we see anybody do it, I think AJ Styles is kind of like the first guy that I think, you know, we might actually see, because, you know, he wasn't just on Ring of Honor, and he wasn't just a big name on the indies. He was on TNA for a long time.
Yeah.
And he's been a big name. Yeah, you know, he's got TV experience. Yeah. So he's kind of like the first one that I could be like, okay, they might give him a shot. You know what I mean? Yeah. They might just bring him straight in.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. Yep. I think it's cool that he's here, and it's neat that they're kind of doing this, and maybe this is because they're wanting big stars, but, you know, they signed, like, a bunch of those Bullet Club guys, and it's generated a ton of buzz online because these are, like you said, it's a big group of indie darlings or guys that people have really enjoyed that they haven't watched in WWE before. So it does kind of bring a little bit of excitement to some stuff that they might be doing. So, yeah.
You know, it's interesting because WCW was able to challenge WWE, WWF in the Monday Night Wars because their mid-card was unbelievable.
Right.
You know what I mean? The cruiserweight division, Chris Jericho, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, you know, Dean Malenko, all those guys that they brought in and were their car crashes in the middle of the show were unbelievable.
Right.
Those guys were all stars like these guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they had experience. You know, those guys, WCW didn't breed those guys. They didn't go, oh, we want a cruiserweight division. Let's hire a bunch of guys and teach them to wrestle. And,
right.
You know what I mean? They went and found, like, all these guys that were in Japan and in Mexico and had experience, you know, in the ring, wrestling in front of big crowds, and they brought them in. And, you know, it took a little time for them to adapt, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? Jericho talks all the time about how awful he was the first year there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now you see the WWE doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think they're really starting to see a little bit, like, you know, we're hiring all these kids out of high school. Or not high school, but, you know, we're hiring all these athletes out of college, and, you know, we're giving these guys, you know, guys that couldn't quite make it in the NFL, and we're hiring all these guys to make them in and make them something. When there is a whole plethora of guys who love this business, who are dying for this business, who are traveling and eating and training all on their own because they want to be in this business. And you know what? They're not going to come and get comfortable in our developmental system because they, you know,
right?
They want to be on TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, well, guys, a lot of those guys there are definitely guys out there. I can't say a lot of those guys because there's a lot of indie wrestlers out there, and a lot of them probably shouldn't be on TV.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of guys out there who need that final push and don't know where to get it.
Yeah.
You know, so if you brought a guy in there who, you know, was great on the mic and really good in the ring and almost had the look, and then you bring him in and put him on a workout routine and give him a little bit of coaching on certain aspects, and then boom, you got a guy already made, as opposed to you go grab a guy out of high school and go, or college, and go, hey, you ever really watched this?
Yeah,
every once in a while. Okay, well, come learn to do it.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, instead of having to train a guy for a year and hope he doesn't completely burn out, you got a guy who you can put 3 months of solid work into, and he's at least ready for stage one at that point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. I think it's going to be pretty neat to see what happens with it for sure. And even if he does go to NXT for a while, I mean, that's still good.
Yeah.
It's still
great
television.
Yeah, absolutely.
NXT's been exciting anyway.
AJ Styles and Finn Balor.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. So there's still much to look
forward
to.
Don't they cross some, like, when Kevin Owens came up, wasn't he still,
he
like,
was still
he
their
came
champ.
Up and did that thing yeah. with Cena for
well,
a while, but he was still doing all the NXT stuff for a long time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and that was actually one of the things that was so fun about that storyline, though. Like, he showed up as the NXT champ to challenge John Cena as the U.S. champ
yeah.
to basically claim that the NXT champion was better than the U.S. champion.
Yeah.
And that was actually some really exciting
yeah,
storytelling.
It was, yeah.
Like, that was good
yeah.
stuff.
And again, something you didn't see coming,
right.
so you were immediately just
yeah.
eating it up.
Right,
you know?
Right. And that's when Cena was doing his whole U.S. title run, which was the best thing on Raw that entire time, almost.
Yeah.
Like, Cena found, like, a great spot to be in. Like, he made the U.S. title meaningful again,
mm-hmm.
and he was having amazing matches with all these guys on Raw,
yeah.
and it was awesome. So, yeah, that and then that was almost, like the great ending to that whole story,
yeah.
kind of, was, like, the big Kevin Owens, and then they did, like, a 3-pay-per-view kind of circuit with
yeah.
each
yeah.
other. So it was cool. It was cool
Good.
Stuff. So
yeah.
Which, we can definitely see more of that probably.
But maybe that's
Which
the kind
is,
of
well,
thing we'll see with like the Styles type guys. Maybe
yeah.
they've got something they can do to at least a limited basis on the main
yeah,
roster to
yeah.
associate, and they'll pull their time at NXT
yeah.
to kind of learn the specifics.
Learn
the ropes,
yeah. probably. Well, that's a great segue into one of the other surprises.
That's right. Yes.
Sami Zayn.
Boom. Another NXT guy. And he had a big feud with Kevin Owens in NXT, and they played that up in the Rumble
yeah.
tonight. Like,
yeah.
his music
well,
hit, and Owens immediately was like...
Yeah.
You
well, because they weren't able to finish that feud.
Yeah.
Because he was hurt.
Yeah.
They did this really kind of half a match where Owens just destroyed him because he had to protect his shoulder.
Yeah.
And... They didn't get to finish that feud, so I'm sure they'll be looking to go back to that. I don't know, you know, like I was never a fan. They don't like talk about it. Sami Zayn was El Generico.
Yeah,
I was never a fan of El Generico. Huge fan of Sami Zayn.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So,
I've heard you say that
yeah.
a lot. Yeah. And I guess also worth noting is right before that, Owens was the one that eliminated AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually a really fun moment, too, because well, we joked about how Neville almost turned heel
yeah.
because he had this moment where he started to throw AJ out, and the crowd was like, boo!
Yeah,
like, they just booed
like,
the crap out of Neville.
Yeah.
We were like, whoa, Neville almost turned heel on accident. But right after that, Kevin Owens threw AJ out of the ring and got massive heat for
yeah.
it. And it was awesome, because Owens is one of those guys that the crowd likes, but he's a good heel.
Yeah.
And so when that happened, they instantly were like, you know, instant heel heat for
right.
Owens, and that was really cool. And we almost kind of speculated, well, maybe we know what AJ's doing now. Maybe
right.
it'll be AJ and Owens. But immediately after that is when Zayn's entrance music hit, and he
yeah.
came
yeah.
out, and we were like, oh, wait, we think they might be going yeah. somewhere with this.
Well, you know, it'd be very cool.
Maybe they do both.
Well,
yeah.
that's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be a super cool three-way feud.
Yeah.
Where, you know, because you could almost see kind of like when Benoit and Triple H and Michaels had their triple threat at Mania.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Triple H had the belt, and Benoit had won the title, but had won the Rumble, but Shawn came out and he was like, sorry, I gotta finish this.
Yeah.
This is personal between us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I could totally see something with AJ coming out like, oh, you know, Kevin Owens ruined my WWE debut.
Yeah.
You know, and then Sami Zayn comes out and he's like, eh,
I got unfinished business
yeah.
kind of a thing.
You know, and
yeah.
that would be a really good place for those three to break out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? To really, I mean,
and if that's a story you wanted to push for Mania, that's one that you can build without having AJ on the main roster full time.
Yes.
He could make his appearances.
Yep.
And you can play part of that back in NXT, right. where those other two are so well known,
mm-hmm.
so that all works
wow.
out perfectly there
yeah.
too.
Yeah, that could be fun.
Yeah,
I'm excited now to see what happens with all of that. I
yeah,
think that's
I gotta
gonna be cool stuff.
Sign back up for the network.
Yeah, you need
tonight.
To get on the network. Yeah, for sure.
Plus, there's an Edge and Christian show coming, so.
Which looks bonkers. Yeah, I don't even know what's going on with that show, but I'm gonna watch all of it. That's all I know. I think the only other, like, real big thing that happened that we need to discuss with the Rumble is the Brock Lesnar situation.
Yeah.
It was, I think we almost even kind of guessed this going in because of the setup on the Raw closing and the promos that the Wyatts cut
yeah.
earlier. But it looks blatantly obvious they're going to be doing a Wyatt Lesnar storyline for Mania.
Yeah.
Or that's what their hope is. So the Wyatts were out and they were kind of dominating. Bray was the only one who hadn't come out in the Rumble yet. And then when Lesnar's music finally hit, you know, he hit the ring to a great ovation and immediately started hammering on the Wyatts. But this is where things kind of broke apart, yeah. I feel like, with Lesnar, because we would almost expect Lesnar to be the guy, especially the way he's been built, as this unstoppable beast for so long. He should have been the guy that hit the ring at this point and just murdered everyone.
Right.
Like, destroyed everybody in his way, threw them all out of the ring, just cleared it out, went total beast mode, and he didn't.
No.
At all.
He got in kind of hot, started punching the Wyatts. And then he just kind of fizzled out and kind of walked around punching people.
Pretty much just meandered about the ring for 15 minutes.
Like
or
he was lost or something.
We kept making the joke that
he suplexed Harper about 27 times.
Yeah.
We were making the joke that somebody must have told him Chris Jericho was a ring general.
Yeah.
Because Jericho spent a lot of this time. He got knocked down and just kind of, you know, rested in a corner for a good long while, and every once in a while Brock Lesnar would go over and just sort of loom over Jericho and not really do anything and then walk away and go hit someone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay, Jericho. Yeah. Hey, Jericho. Yeah.
Chris,
what do
I
do? You need me to do? Yeah.
Punch somebody.
Go punch somebody. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I'll go punch somebody. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't as interesting as you would expect to see, and it lost his excitement as a result. Like he should have been one of those wild cards in the Rumble, you know? Like, the way that he's been built and pushed his entire run, and the fact that he never technically got pinned for that title anyway, he should have been a major wild card in this event. He should have been the guy who, when he hit the ring and threw everybody out, you were like, oh, man. Yeah. Maybe this dude's just going to get his belt back tonight.
Yeah.
But you totally lost any ounce of thinking that was a possibility once he got in there and didn't do that stuff.
Yeah,
his fire just fizzled away. It was just a bad spot for him.
That
gradually, the Wyatts that he was gunning for, and he wanted to take him out. And they even did that promo with Paul Heyman where he was like, he's going to destroy the Wyatts. And then he's in the ring with, like, three of them, and he's just kind of...
And that's the thing. He didn't even really house of fire those guys.
No.
Like, I mean, he knocked them down for a while and then just kind of, like, stared at them. And then they'd get up and he'd suplex
one
of them.
He house of fired Abe Froman.
Yeah, Abe Froman.
Sausage King of Chicago. Yeah, but he kept trying to go for suplexes on that guy thing. I kept going, nope.
Yeah, dude, that dude just kept breaking. Like, I don't take those. Yeah. That's what it looked like, for sure. So, like, slowly but surely, over time, he started getting those guys eliminated.
Yeah.
But it was like he'd eliminate one, and then there'd be some punches and some things happening. Then he'd eliminate another one, and it was real slow going.
You kept waiting for Bray to be the next one, and then when they were all in the ring, something interesting would happen. But then he just started kind of dumping them, and by the time he dumps them all is when Bray comes out.
Yeah. Right.
And that's when we get to that shoot-off I was talking about earlier when you had the League of Nations do all that stuff to Reigns.
Yeah.
This
same
is the second
situation.
Time we had the situation where he's just eliminated, I think, all three of those
all
other
three
guys.
Of the Wyatts
Bray
have been
comes
eliminated.
Out and gets in his face. All three of those guys come running back in and attack him. He dumps them all again. They come back in again.
Yeah.
Finally, they get over on him and they get him eliminated, and then he just kind of leaves.
And he just wanders off, leaves, doesn't
do
anything about it.
You know, two problems there. One being, why wasn't this beast? Why didn't this beast go into beast mode? You know,
and
why
flip
didn't
out and
why didn't he jump
everybody.
Back in
yeah.
there and kill
yeah.
all of them and and
it's totally
and
out of character.
Chuck
for
Rain
him.
Or Chuck.
He probably legitimately could have flipped that ring up on its side.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
why
yeah.
didn't he jump? Why didn't he jump back in and Chuck Bray out for doing that to him? He just kind of left instead. The other thing being, like exactly like we said with the other stable that came in earlier. It's another one of those things where you go, well, I guess it's wrestling, so I just deal with it. But if these three guys are willing to come in and attack Lesnar over and over again until he gets eliminated, why didn't they stay
and do it to
everyone else so Bray could win? Yeah. You know, but they just left
they just
when
left.
Lesnar did, and then Bray unceremoniously gets eliminated shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
Like,
it was
dull, man.
It was really, really dull, especially for a character like Brock.
I mean, the rules not making real world sense, but at least make them make sense within your world.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. I know. And, like, I guess that maybe they're just trying to establish the fact, well, you know, Brock just can't be the main event monster forever. Yeah, that's fine. But I still feel like he could still maintain that character and not have to be the guy that's going
after
the main title.
And
you know,
all
that's
boils
like saying
down.
The Undertaker can't be the main event monster forever.
Yeah,
The
right.
Undertaker still does Undertaker stuff every time he shows up.
Well, and we
according to my watch, he literally has been that forever.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, we talked about earlier, too, how they could have kept this entire thing much more exciting and still pulled off the exact same kind of thing. thing. Like, if Lesnar would have ran straight out there and destroyed everybody in that ring and threw them all out, but then the next guy that came out was Bray, and then they went immediately into that attack on Brock Lesnar, you accomplish the same thing, but you still get crazy beast mode Brock Lesnar, who's doing what he should be doing.
And as, you know, when you say, well, they're just trying to accomplish this, they just want to get from point A to point B. Well, like, as the storyteller, as someone who is asking me to give you money so that I can consume your product, I don't want to just get from point A to point B. I want to be entertained in that section in the middle. Going, well, they just needed to get here is not good enough. Figure something better out.
Right. Well, you could also look at this as maybe a quantity over quality thing, you know what I mean? Because I can totally see him sit backstage going, man, you know, we don't get much of Brock Lesnar. He shows up and Paul Heyman talks, and he shows up and Paul Heyman talks, and he shows up for a pay-per-view and has a match. This is one of our pay-per-views. Let's get 10 minutes out of him. You know what I mean? And really what we wanted was 5. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we only needed 5. Yeah. It's all we need with him. Like, and Vince McMahon said it himself on that one of those podcasts when he was asked about, I think Stone Cold asked him about Lesnar. And Vince's words were, do you want to see Lesnar more than you know, at these big events? I don't think you do.
Yeah.
That's all we need him for. And I think he's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what Lesnar is good at. It's exactly what he's good for. That's exactly what that character is.
It took me a while to get on board with him, but I like Lesnar so much more as that just, you know, monster.
Yeah.
That he's the monster that shows up 10 times a year than I ever did as a weekly.
But you want it to be in a situation where every time he does show up, you don't know what's going to happen.
Except
you know that people are going to get hurt because that's what Brock Lesnar does.
And I want him to look like he's got a purpose for being there, not to just wander around aimlessly until the next spot comes.
That was disappointing.
Because basically it's like, well, he can't get knocked over and pushed to the side. So literally everyone else has to be, and then he'll just walk circles in the ring until somebody new comes out.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's pretty much exactly what happened with him. That was disappointing for sure. So was there anything else like major that really happened? I think we hit all the big points in the Rumble.
Yeah.
So overall, like, what did you guys feel of the show? Did it kind of, was it exactly what you expected it to be? Was it a little bit better, a little bit worse?
Boring journey, hopeful destination, I guess.
That's a good review.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, like I said at the beginning of the show, I always get excited about the Rumble. The Rumble always, not always, for many years in a row now, the Rumble has ended lackluster for me.
Yeah.
I won't say I was shocked by the ending of this one, but at least it's leading me in a direction I didn't necessarily think we were going. Or even beyond that, even if I kind of saw it coming to a degree, at least I'm excited about going down that road, you know? So I didn't love the way the match was worked, but the results themselves, at least now I've got something
like
to
kind
of hold on to.
Like you can live with it. Yeah.
Better than the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I would say probably exactly par for the course.
Yeah.
For what I expected. I enjoyed it because I enjoy wrestling.
Right.
So, you know, it was what it was. I enjoyed Triple H winning. I guess I enjoyed the end more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
Everything else was exactly what I expected. I wouldn't go so far as to say, like, boring destination, you know what I mean, or anything like that. I enjoyed it. You know, I was hopeful the entire way through the Rumble. You know what I mean?
Hopeful.
Like every time
definitely
that
hopeful.
Every time that countdown starts, you're like, oh, I hope it's somebody cool. Swagger, never mind. You know, but then the next time that 10 count it comes on, you're like,
Maybe it's this time.
No, it's Russo.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm excited for Triple H. And, like, when you had mentioned Triple H, I was kind of like, meh. You know what I mean? But, like, the instant he was winning, you know, I got that feeling like I was talking about, you know, like, we got that collision course now. You know what I mean?
Right.
We got that storyline. And I was like, okay, I'm with it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's see what it turns into, for sure. Yeah, I will say that, like, I was worried before the Rumble started, as I mentioned, like, all day leading up to it. And obviously the last two Rumbles have not been a very good track record for this. So I was just kind of worried it was going to be par for the course for those. And the moment that the big, stupid attacking Reigns on the outside moment happened, I was pretty much ready to just give up on all hope. I was like, this is it.
Yep.
Reigns is just going to win. It's exactly what I expected it to be. So I did get a little excited when the H thing actually did happen. I felt myself get a little more hopeful. And, you know, it's sad to say, but the fact that Reigns didn't win, regardless of who the winner actually was, is the thing that excited me about this.
Yeah.
And that is sad to say, considering they want us all to like Reigns so much. But I think me, just like many of the people watching, that's just, they were hoping for something different, something else, something surprising, or just, you know, so that we've got a little something more exciting to look forward to.
For at least, I don't even remember before then, but for at least 2 years in a row, they pretty much just told us who was going to win a month out.
Yeah.
This time, it was somebody different.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So we got a little bit of a shift. A little bit of a shift. So that's hopeful. And we are now officially on the road to WrestleMania, so maybe we'll have some great stuff, some great wrestling leading up to it. You know, that's one thing that I will always say that the WWE does well, is it seems like they do really turn things up this time of year. And, you know,
Not last year.
You're right. We went into that WrestleMania thinking it was going to be awful, but Mania itself turned out to be very good.
Yeah,
Mania was
not good. Yeah.
They always deliver at Mania.
Many of the times they do, and we're always at least hopeful that they will. So I'm hoping something good happens. I'm hoping that we have some nice build, and at the very least, I hope the pay-per-view itself was very exciting. Something fun and entertaining to watch. And
I'm on a lot of roads right now.
You're on a lot of roads right now?
Road to WrestleMania. I got a pit stop on the road to the Oscars. You know?
Yeah?
There's just roads everywhere.
There's so many roads.
Yeah. Well, we're going it's a busy time of year.
Roads, John.
Is there a road to the Super Bowl, or is that...
That was today, too.
Yeah, weren't you at the last
That was today, too.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that was kind of a bummer from a perspective there. Like, as far as I can remember, and I've only cared about football for about 5 years, so it didn't matter before then, but I always seemed to that, you know, they would do the championship games one weekend to tell you who was going to be in the Super Bowl. There's always a two-week break. And in the middle there on that week is when the Royal Rumble was.
Right.
And then there was the Super Bowl. So this year we kind of had that thing going because we had other people who we were hoping were going to come out.
Yeah.
And we, you know, like it's like I made two separate sets of plans for the same day without realizing they were the same day. You know, when you called, you're like, Rumble at the House Sunday. I'm like, yeah, obviously, of course I'll be there. And we talked about it for a while, and then one of our other buddies is like, hey, those football games are on that night. I'm like, oh, that's the same day.
Yikes.
That stinks.
Yeah. You know?
Interesting call on the WWE's
part. It is. I wonder why they did that.
Our ratings are as low as they've ever been. Let's run head-to-head with the playoff game.
Yeah, and you know what? With the WWE Network being a thing, I bet a lot of people didn't bother watching the show live tonight.
Yeah.
I bet most people opted to watch the football games, and they'll just turn on Royal Rumble whenever they want to on the WWE Network.
And there's several big market teams that play today.
That is really weird that they do that. But
I mean, Denver and New England are both huge national teams, but granted, they played that's the one I went and watched and then came back and watched, you know, so that one. I guess the second game was Arizona and Carolina. They're not quite as big. But, again, like you said, they're still the NFL.
Right.
It's still the NFC Championship game. There's still a lot of people. First of all of Carolina and Arizona you've just lost.
Yeah.
You know? And then just as, you know, any fans outside of those regions, plus anybody who's just a big football fan, because that I haven't seen it yet, but that's pegged as what should have been a very good game, so people are going to be interested in it.
I'm Vince McMahon. I do what I want. Ha, ha, ha,
yeah.
I'm bigger than football. Awesome. Well, hey, I'm certain we'll be getting together again after WrestleMania to talk about that, so that'll probably be the next time we do some wrestling talk, but we've done that the last couple times, so you guys can definitely look forward to that as well. Mm-hmm. We went an hour and a half talking about the Rumble, guys.
Yep.
We did not expect
that, did we?
We estimated 20 minutes.
Have such good points. Everything I said is so thoughtful.
That's
I would have hated the few times we get to have you on the show. I would have hated for it to be, you know, not talk about.
Exactly.
So.
Rumble sucked. The matches suck.
The end.
Guys. Good night.
Thanks for watching.
We were going to try to do Star Wars possibly tonight, too. We're going to have to push that off again.
Yes, we are.
So,
guys, it'll happen.
That's our new thing.
That's our new thing. Yeah. We just keep telling you guys we're going to talk about Star Wars and...
We will definitely discuss Episode 7 very in-depth before Episode 8 hits.
Definitely before. You're right.
Definitely.
We will definitely shoot for that. All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us. As always, the audio version of this podcast is available on multiple platforms. You can catch us on iTunes, on Stitcher, or on Podbean. Use the Podbean app if you want to do that. And I will also be throwing this up on YouTube at youtube.com /C/Pixel-Dan. Just do a search for Pixel Dan. That's easier. Subscribe, then you don't have to search for it. It'll just pop up in your feed. That's what you guys should do. Very special thanks to our good friend, the pro wrestling analyst, Jaren McCaffrey, for once again joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. John, thanks for being here. It's always good to see you.
I like the show.
And we will see you guys again real soon for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast. Take care, my friends.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.